Welcome to Success Stories, brought to you by SNS Activewear. I'm your host, Marshall Atkinson, and this is the podcast that focuses on what's working so you can have success too. During and after the coronavirus pandemic, many screen printing shops found success by developing a local Here for Good campaign to help surrounding businesses in their community stay afloat during these difficult times. In Rockford, Illinois, one business owner, Jared Hennis, developed a Here for Good campaign and assisted businesses in his area to raise money selling t-shirts. Each shirt sold helped that local business, but also kept Jared's shop, the Rockford Art Deli, in business as well. On this edition of Success Stories, we're going to discuss the Rockford Art Deli's Here for Good campaign and learn how it worked, what Jared learned, and how this idea is laying a solid foundation for a successful future in his community of Rockford, Illinois. So, hey, Jared, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Marshall. Thanks for having me. I always love being a part of anything that you've got your hands in.
Yeah, well, thanks. And you've been in a lot of stuff over the years, and I really appreciate that. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. It's been super fun being a part of all the talking and the events and the you know, just trying to help other screen printers in the industry.
Right. So you ready to get going?
I am.
Okay, so first I want to get started with basically the idea of what is the Here for Good campaign. Where did that come from and how did you get started doing it?
Yeah, so I mean, the Here for Good idea in the big grand scheme of things is just a fundraiser site. You know, it's what people have been doing for years as print shops of spirit wear and, you know, just helping an organization make money and then helping your business make money. So that's the general overall feel of it. Where did it come from? The branding of it Here for Good was from one of my friends, Sloan, at Tiny Little Monster in St. Louis, and she kind of branded the Here for Good movement and, you know, reached out to other print shops and, you know, me being one of those, and was just super stoked about what it was doing. And, you know, we were in this pandemic and we still are, and trying to figure out what we can do to help pivot and use our shops for, you know, for a force of good. And, you know, she definitely nailed it on the head with the Here for Good style. And then everyone just kind of used what they had from that to in their arsenal to kind of just at least get the groundwork of it going.
Yeah. And so locally you started this, and of course we always start with that first customer. For you, kind of what business was that, and how did you get other people to get involved and talk about how many shops, how much money you raise, kind of all that from beginning to the kind of the end here?
So yeah, so you know, as a custom print shop and you know, being in the industry for, you know, 15-ish years, we have a base. We have a base of our loyal customers that are ride or die, that'll do whatever we want to do and will help us out to help them out. So actually West Rock Wake Park was my first business that I added on. They run a local wakeboarding business, Cable Park, so you can wakeboard on a lake. Super cool concept. And so he was part of probably six businesses that I'm like, well, I need to have some shirts up. I need to have to be able to market this. I need to have some shirts up on the site, ready to go, and start pitching it from there. So I think I started with about 12 businesses, and you know, that was on March 25th. And then really all we did was one post and one newsletter, and we ended up with over 400 businesses and sold over 10,000 t-shirts in 2.5 months. And the cool part about that was we didn't really have to work that hard to market it because the businesses were doing it for us. You know, they were marketing to their tribe. So we started off with our small tribe and then opened it up to the community to sign up. And then really from there, it grew legs and tentacles and wings, and it went all over Rockford because, you know, Rockford's 130,000-140,000 people. So it's not massive. And just to see 400 businesses sign up, we actually had to turn a lot down. One, because a lot of bad artwork. You know, everyone was just sending JPEGs and just not user-ready artwork. And since it wasn't a custom order, we just couldn't invest in helping them get their artwork ready at the time when it first was kind of exploding.
You had 10,000 t-shirts sold. So what did that equate to sales and you helping them out? Kind of like the money you raised for them was how much?
So yeah, so we sold the t-shirts for $25 and they got $10 from each shirt sold. So we raised over $100,000 in 2.5 months that went across, 400 businesses, ranging from some people that got thousands and some people that got 10 bucks. It was really, it all depended on how, hard they sold themselves, because really like they were their salesmen. We weren't the salesman for that company. We were just the catalyst for it.
And did you say, hey, your success depends on how much elbow grease you're going to put into it? Because we're just facilitating the program. The money you raise is really about your fans and your customers buying into what you're trying to do, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So we sent out, in the initial post, we sent out some tips and tricks on how to promote it. We gave them a web ready image with their t-shirt mock-up on it so they could share it properly. At the end of the day, they had to promote it themselves. So, we had a couple of businesses that did complain and like, well, we only sold 6 shirts. And I was like, well, that's because you only promoted it one time on your Instagram story. So it was only there for 24 hours.
Right.
So really their success depended on them, because people weren't going to go to our website and scroll 50 pages of t-shirts to be like, oh, this one looks cool. It was all direct sales from that customer or their friends or someone that's sharing it for them.
Marketing is always one of the hardest things to do. So how did you get people just to sign up and participate? I want to dig into that a little more.
Yes. So, we did a couple things to start off. We made a nice landing page on our Shopify site. It looked really nice, had all the info on it, super easy for the business. All they had to do was fill out their business name, attach their logo. They picked a t-shirt color and an ink color. And really from there, that's all they had to do. And they just submitted. And then we would get back to them when it was done. So once that business came in, they signed up for it. They gave me good, vector, print ready artwork. We made the mock-up, sent them that with the tips and tricks. And then from there, we have a PR person that we use for all of our events. So she kind of started the initial hustle for us to get the word out. Like, hey, if you're a business and you need help, sign up with Rockford Art Deli. That's a minimal cost for us. But then we had every single news station, every radio station, newspaper, everybody was here to interview us, because one, there wasn't anything positive going on in March 25th. Everything was closing down, like businesses were closing. We were a feel-good story. We were a here for good. They, everyone was jumping on anything that we were posting and sharing it for us. So, we had that on us. So we had a minimal spend on PR.
Did you have like a hashtag here for good or anything?
Yeah, just here for good, RKFD. It did okay. Rockford's not super hip on hashtags and tagging correctly. So it didn't blow up or anything. We did our own and we did get some good customer interaction. But, really it was, some of these businesses don't even have a Facebook page or don't even know how to set it up properly. So it was really hard to tag them and promote each business, because some of them were a salon in their basement or a auto mechanic in his garage. Because there was no rules, no parameters. Like, I don't even know if half of them were businesses really, but they had a business name and a sort of logo, and we kind of took it from there, and it was a really fun experience. Definitely a ton of learning.
Let's just skip over the people who didn't really do well, and let's just focus on the top 20% of the people who really had great success.
Yeah.
What do you think set them apart from the bottom 80% as far as getting involved, sharing what's going on, like challenge, like do they do challenges like, hey, we're trying to get to this number by Sunday, by now kind of a thing? What did they actually do?
So there was a combination of all three. Some of them were just really big businesses, I think the number one sales was one of our customers, it's a brewery. So they have this big base already because everyone loves their beer. But truthfully, the top people were salons. And I think it's really, they hustle. They were trying to make money to pay their staff, to pay rent, because, most of the people, the salon people in the service industry couldn't, file for a lot of the grants and loans because they were tip-based or cash-based or, a 1099. So they were kind of out of that first loop. So I think the people that were posting daily or sending newsletters. So we had a lot of fitness places that were sending newsletters weekly with, hey, here's some info about what's happening. Here's some at-home fitness things. Oh, and by the way, here's this t-shirt that helps support us, and we get $10 from each t-shirt sold. I would say the top 25 people were all either reputable businesses or just people that hustled and posted every single day. But the salons blew my mind. Like, I was just, you don't think about salons being popular, I guess. but they crushed it. Like, those salons were, you know, they were getting like $300 a week, $400 a week, which was awesome. It was awesome seeing them. And it was just really, they have a good tribe. They, you know, you have good customer service. That means you have good followers. That means they want to buy your product, you know, versus someone that doesn't have good customer service or any online presence. You know, they're just running day by day.
And that kind of makes sense anyway, I think, because, you know, a lot of hair salons, it's a very personal, they chit chat you up while you're getting your hair cut or, you know, the latest style or whatever, right? So there's a lot of talking going on anyway. And typically they go to the same person for years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And when these people are struggling, I need to get my hair done 3 months from now. You know, I need them back in business. Yeah, I'll buy the t-shirts so they can pay their rent. That's kind of how it worked, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's, you know, if you already have a good business model, it really helped. There were a few that surprised me. There was like a lawyer firm that sold quite a few, which is a surprising thing. I think they just, you know, it was some really like a popularity contest. Like the more popular you were and knew how to promote and sell your business, the more you sold. You know, it's like any business in general, like the better you are at selling your product, the more you're going to sell. It helps if you have a good product, which, you know, that's where we came in because we were reputable and, you know, Rockford Art Deli is known for having really nice t-shirts and good prints. And so it was kind of a win-win for them. But then also we got to piggyback into their market. You know, we got to shop into their market. That means their customers were on our website buying 815 shirts or Rockford shirts too.
What was on the shirts? Was it just a design with their logo or do they have like a cute and witty little saying? Did you have to design it? Did they tell you what you want? Like, walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, so we did the first, I would say, 100. So Amari Salon was one of our top selling ones, and she was awesome. Like, she sold really well and was a big advocate for us, but never done business with her before, never met her before. I don't even, you know, never a customer or anything. So she had a really cool design. It was that she sent in. It was, you know, it was vector ready, and it was like a cool little hand putting like your, you know, rock and roll fingers up. And had some scissors in it and some like tattoo art kind of looking stuff on it. And it turned out really well. And she did extremely well. But most of the people that applied, some people asked for custom things, but we couldn't handle it. You know, we were getting so many artwork and load at once. And we don't at the time, we don't have in-house design. Like, we have two freelance people at the moment. So I was trying to carry that load and do it all. So it was just like, hey, if you have vector ready artwork, it's good to go. If I have to customize it or live trace it or recreate it, it's, you know, you're going to the bottom of the list. So either you can start selling now or you can wait maybe a couple weeks and you'd get the artwork done or send us, you know, good artwork. We did start sending some of the like smaller local freelance artists in town. We started just recommending them, you know, to help create some revenue for them too. But I would say 2 out of 10 businesses had correct artwork to start.
Two out of 10, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Or they didn't know what vector was. So that was a good learning point. Most people were saving a JPEG and exporting it as AI file. And they were like, no, this is vector.
Shocker.
You know, typically, you know, what we see every day in the screen printing industry. But right. So that was, you know, like, I guess this whole nother thing of like, wow, these people don't know what artwork they need. They don't know what they have. Some sign shop sold them a PNG file that was low res, you know, and they're like, yeah, this is good for you. We had people sending pictures of their front doors, be like, hey, this is my logo, or a business card or a back of a t-shirt. It was pretty crazy. Like, and it's, you know, it's not crazy stuff that as print shops we see normally. We see some weird stuff out there, but it was really eye-opening for these business owners that are sending me their stuff and they have no idea what they have for artwork or don't have for artwork. It's a big learning curve. So we actually created a page that said, this is how to send vector artwork to Rockford Art Deli. And we attached that or responded to every single email that had bad artwork. Cause it's like, we just didn't have the time or the capacity to help, you know, redo all these logos. The first 100 we did, we were redoing everything, like recreating people's logos. Cause it was, you know, the hype, the fun, like, oh, this is fun. We can do this, until it just kept coming in. And it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah. You ride the wave until it's a tsunami and you can't keep up.
Mm-hmm. I think we had over 500 people apply, but we shut it off. We probably could have had probably 600, but we shut it off for a while to catch up, turned it back on, shut it off.
Like what you hear so far? Be sure to subscribe so you can get the latest from Success Stories. And now here's Erin Lyon with the SNS Spotlight.
Hey, it's Erin Lyon with SNS Activewear. Since COVID began, fundraising has become an even larger part of our industry than it was before. I've seen some really creative ways to go about it, but at the end of the day, ensuring that proceeds are going to a cause that you and your business believe in goes a really long way with customer loyalty. That's what will shine through when we're all able to get back to a more normal flow of business. One of the things I've noticed is that the Bella Canvas 3001 has been a go-to t-shirt for these fundraising campaigns, as the brand's becoming more of a household name now. It's trusted, and consumers will spend more on quality for a cause that they're connected to. Another thing I've seen is that most of my customers waited for orders to accumulate before printing and only used 1 to 2 color print designs to keep their costs low. They also only offered up to 3 different t-shirt colorways to ensure that inventory could accommodate the demand from each fundraising campaign. And don't forget that masks are a really hot item right now, so they'd make a great addition to any fundraising campaign. You can make it a one-stop shop for visiting customers and encourage an impulse add-on of a mask. Our MAV 20 pleated face mask is an awesome option to put in those types of campaigns because they come in so many different prints, patterns, and colors that you can really cater to everybody's different taste levels. And since they are already decorated from a print standpoint, you really don't have to decorate them, so it's just an added profit option. I think it's a really beneficial move, especially right now, just to find a charitable cause that you believe in. Maybe that's law enforcement, first responders, civil rights, or support local businesses, whatever it is. Start making a move towards bettering the community that you're in, and you will reap the benefits now, but more importantly, later. Thanks for listening.
Along the way, you've probably stubbed your toe here or there and something just absolutely didn't work, like the artwork part, right? So can you share a mistake or two that, you know, that happened to you, and thinking through it, you wish you had done it differently, and that way somebody who's thinking about maybe doing something similar to this can completely avoid that landmine?
Yeah, you know, because this was all new to us. We've never done a fundraiser site before. We've never dabbled in that or any of that. I would say a couple of the biggest ones were limit your options. You know, there were similar shops out there that just did one logo. You know, we were trying a different angle than that. But I would say limit your ink colors. We pretty much let them pick any ink colors they want. And then we had 6 different t-shirts that we offered, which that was a whole thing too, because then everyone stopped making t-shirts and started making masks. So we were low on inventory. So keep it simple. One, you know, maybe 2 different t-shirt colors and 2 different inks would really seal the deal to make it really simple. Communication has been the biggest issue we've had recently with, I would say, how many emails we get daily with the, you know, oh, I haven't got my shirt yet. It's been 4 months. I didn't know it was a pre-order. I didn't know it was a fundraiser. I would have just rather donated directly to the company if I knew it was going to be this long. So I think we've could have done a really, you know, but we had a small team, but I think we could have done a better job explaining the issue, like what the whole process was, more and more frequent, you know, maybe tweaks on the website with the shipping area and just things you don't really think about because you didn't really think it was going to be this big or take this long. Because I mean, we're still printing shirts. We have about 2,000 shirts left to print. And I think the communication would have been really massive to help with that. So I'd say the keep it simple communication, and try to outsource maybe or have more help externally. You know, yeah, we've been outsourcing, yeah, some stuff, but not this campaign because the margins were so low on it. It was hard for us to outsource anything.
Yeah, it's kind of like throwing a party. You know, you invite 100 people and you know only 30 are going to show up, but what happens when 100 people show up?
You're never prepared for enough appetizers or drinks for sure.
Right. How did the money part work? So you sold the shirts. Let's say there's a company that they sold 100 shirts, right? Mm-hmm. So you owe them $1,000, right? Yep. Let's just use easy back of the napkin math. Did you just stroke them a check? Did they have to send a W-9 or something in? How did you work that out?
So every week we sent out money. So I had a shared Google Doc, like a spreadsheet that had each week's sales. So how many sales that company had, how much their donation was going to be, and if they got paid or not. So that was more just for internal checks and balances. They had the option, which this was another issue that we figured out later, was not to offer options. Because I think we piggyback off Tiny Little Monster, and you know, they offered Venmo, PayPal, and check. I was like, oh, that's a good idea. But then I was like, well, Venmo, you can only send out so much a week. It was like $10,000 or something like that, which that was a pain in the butt. PayPal was nice. You could do batching with that, but we were still doing everything manually because we didn't have a system. You know, everything was manual. And then checks. So yeah, we were writing checks and doing PayPal weekly manually. So we were creating the spreadsheet. It was all just running a spreadsheet, copying and pasting, making formulas across, you know, because we ended up having 9 weeks of sales and then tying those all into a master spreadsheet. So the business owner could see what they were at and like where we were at. And that helped us to hold us accountable. I sent out a BombBomb video every week. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's just a video email. So I sent those out to the businesses every single week with updates on what was happening, how they could help, how they could share more, if they could post videos or testimonies for us, thanking us, just to help kind of feed the beast of the social media world. And then they could see where they were at. So if I missed a payment or, you know, because there was so many people, they could be like, hey, I never got that payment. And then that held me accountable. But it was really fun just keeping them in the loop every week and sending them videos and getting, you know, good feedback from them. Yeah, the payment thing was a beast. I ended up 3 weeks, 4 weeks in, I had my bookkeeper take over because I couldn't keep up with it myself. I was doing it all myself. So she started running all the reports. I'd send her the spreadsheet, you know, the export from Shopify with sales. And she would put it all in this fancy spreadsheet that talked to all the other sheets in the spreadsheet and made it look correct. Or made it correct.
Not make it look correct. It was actually correct.
Correct. Yeah. Not. Yeah. I mean, because it was. Yeah. I was like looking at stuff, and I was like, because we overpaid a couple people, not a ton. Some of those were just the checks and balances. Halfway through this campaign, I found out there was a Shopify plugin to do affiliates, and it would have solved this whole problem and made everything automated through PayPal.
Oh man, did you switch to that, or you still haven't done it?
I haven't done it yet because it was too far in where I'd have to go back and have everybody sign up. I'd have to export like all this data in. So if I started again, I would look into something like that or an Inksoft solution or a Printable Merch or something like that that would be a little bit more automated, because really another, not to jump back and forth, but keeping track of how many shirts we printed, because we were printing while we were still selling them just because we wanted to get these shirts out, because, you know, we're a manual shop. Like, to get 10,000 shirts and 400 different designs all at once. Like, I mean, we're already, you know, still printing them because, you know, we can only print so many an hour, and then trying to still piggyback off our own work and customer stuff still to keep, you know, the cash flow.
So let's dig into that part of it. So how did you schedule the production? Did you line things up with, we can do this many a day, this is this many setups, kind of knowing your capacity and your velocity so you could predict, we're doing these today, these tomorrow, these on Friday, da, da, and just knowing where you are with it and just trying to check things off as you went. What did you do?
So it was the Wild West in my shop. Every procedure I had got thrown out the window. It was pretty much full survival mode. So the thing that happened was I got stuck in my office just paying people. That was my biggest thing. I was like, this campaign can go south if I don't pay these people as fast as I can. You know, like, it's going to look like we're ripping people off or a scam or some get rich scheme that, you know, everyone was thinking we were doing. So I was just stuck upstairs and I was just relying on my team downstairs to make everything happen, which I didn't give them a lot of guidance. I was just like, just make sure this is happening. So we were, I think, printing, whoever sold the top shirts that week got printed that week. So that was not a very good idea. We should have really just waited till it was all over and printed them all at once. You know, bought all the shirts, set everything up. But it's been, I got it organized the last couple of weeks because I went in and just made massive spreadsheets and work orders. And we've just been printing the films out and then just kind of printing as we go. There's just piles of shirts downstairs, you know, with the company name on it. And then I have a spreadsheet that shows if the films were burned or if they were, you know, if they're printed yet, if the screen's burned, partially printed, or, and then if it's fully printed, it gets highlighted. We did everything so backwards, and I felt like I was restarting my entire shop because things were moving way too fast. And I mean, really, like, you think about it, we're a small screen printing shop. We're not that big. We do, you know, we make most of our money for retail, our own retail. And we just got 400 custom jobs in 2.5 months for a two-person manual shop.
And just so everybody knows, what is the normal cadence of a custom job that comes in?
Yeah. So normal, I would say average, I mean, we probably only get like 600, 700 custom orders a year. So then we just got 400 in 2.5 months. So, you know, we just weren't set up for that. Like, I couldn't, we couldn't burn 400 screens at once. I wasn't going to spend 10 grand to order 400 screens just to have sitting around. You know, none of this was, we were ready to print 400 films out right away. And I had issues of creating all the artwork and then my computer crashed and I had it all in the downloads folder instead of syncing it. So I had to recreate a bunch of this crappy artwork.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, it was a lot of these lessons were learned and a lot of them were very stressful and still are stressful. But really, as a print shop, we learned so many things. I learned a whole different vision of workflow or to look at things differently and be like, oh, we need to fix this. We need to change this. It was a lot of lessons learned and not being an we're semi-automated, but we're a small shop. So we got to learn so many things from it. So really, like, the takeaway is so huge just because my team now is like, one, I had two new printers also. So I have two new screen printers that have been here less than 6 months printing water-based inks that have never, you know, they've never screen printed before in their life. And then I just gave them 10,000 shirts to print.
Well, it's a lot of practice, Jared.
It's a lot. You know, luckily it was one color. So it was like, you know, mostly white discharge, black water-based. Right. You know, it was like easier things, but yeah, it was the best practice they can get. So now they're, you know, fully ready for whatever I throw at them. Yeah, it was definitely lessons learned. And I know across the U.S., I know there's lessons learned for everyone. Like no one anticipated the scale that this program could get for their local business, you know, and then some were set up for it. They have, you know, autos and some weren't. Overall, you know, what Tiny Little Monster and Salon created was this really cool way for print shops to be on the line and there for their community.
Well, that's the really cool part about this is just thinking through, you know, that book Story Brand by Donald mm-hmm. Miller, where, you know, your customer is the hero, right? And so this is one of these things where our customers are the heroes and we're trying to help them stay afloat. And that's where I think Hair for Good really aligned with the need for apparel, the need to help, the need to be part of the community. And it kind of just all came together and just put a big bow on it. That's one of the most powerful things about this whole program is the fact that it kind of just circled everything. So great job.
Yeah, it's been, and just the friends and the other print shops that got, you know, because there was a Facebook group that Sloan started and so everyone could share ideas. And I had people all over the US just reaching out to ask me questions because they saw how popular, you know, we were doing. So it was so fun just talking to all these different print shops and see how they worked and explaining to them is like, hey, we already had a huge base. Like we already, you know, Rockford Art Deli is a walk-in retail company. Like we already had this huge base of people knowing who we were. We weren't just ABC company in the back of a warehouse printing shirts for all the little league teams. You know, we are in the face of our customer already. So it was easier for us to blow this thing up in weeks. But yeah, it definitely, you know, it made print shops be like the heroes. Like we were paying out money faster than the government was paying out money. And we were there at this time of need for our customers or new customers or just random community members that maybe aren't going to be customers because they have a print shop. You know, there was no strings attached. Like if you have your printer, you know, everyone's got their printer. We weren't trying to steal you from your printer. We were just trying to help you out because we had the engine to do that.
Yeah.
But go back to your printer. That's cool. Like I wish your printer would have reached out and asked how they could have helped us
yeah.
print all these shirts. Well, but you know,
did you contract any of this stuff out?
No, because the margins were so low on this. I've been contracting out like, you know, our custom work that's coming in, but the margins were so low at this at the end of the day that we, you know, we were probably end up going to make like $5 a shirt and then. We had a big hiccup with shipping. We were split shipping things instead of shipping them complete. So we ended up tripling our shipping expense just because we were trying to get shirts out as fast as we can because everyone got nervous downstairs and didn't want to get yelled at. So yeah, but we didn't contract anything out. And really, we actually don't contract anything in our city anyways because none of the print shops talk to us. They're either intimidated of us or don't like us because we're popular. No one really prints water base in town. So we didn't really have any like-minded people in Rockford that wants to work with us. I've tried to reach out to shops just because I think it's silly and I think we should all be able to talk to each other because I have my niche and they have their niche. Most of the time I don't want their business that they have. I just want to talk to them, shop talk. It's, you know, it's a very scared industry in this area where everyone's holding on to their work as much as they can.
Yeah. Come on, but guys. Jared wants to be your friend.
I know. I just want to be friends with everybody. Like, I'm not trying to be the king of the castle or anything. It's just like, I got my niche. I'd rather just sell my rad shirts every day and make my margins on that and not deal with custom work.
So let's finish up just really talking about the future of Rockford Art Deli, right? So you just made all these fantastic friends in the community, or solidified ones that you kind of knew off the edge a little bit. So what are you doing with this, and how is that Here for Good laying the groundwork for the rest of this year and into next year?
So yeah, it's a good question. The whole base of it was we were investing in the long game. You know, we created custom shirts for all these people instead of just doing one design, so that we had this long game. So we have technically not holding ransom or anything like that, but we have vector artwork now for 400 businesses in Rockford that, you know, we can start sending out custom campaigns to them, being like, hey, I know you're an auto shop and it's this time of the year and we could send you this, this, and this. And I could mock up some things and just email to them with a price sheet or a sell card. Or, you know, like some of our bigger customers that we do now, we've actually been printing their logo on new garments, you know, one color logo, and being like, hey, I really think you'd like these three colors for your boutique this fall. Here's these options. Like, here's a medium and a large. Just try them out. See if you like them. You know, no strings attached. But if you like them, let me know. Or attach a sales sheet with it, with these are the pricing for 50 and 100. But right now, there, you know, we have all these businesses that want, like, the biggest thing is we were there when they needed us most. You know, their print shop wasn't there when they needed us the most. Like, they closed down and didn't open back up till July or June. You know, we were there trying to help make them money through the time they were all closed. So we, you know, we have that badge on us of like, hey, Rockford Art Deli stuck their neck out and, you know, maybe lost money at the end of the day on this campaign to help them make some money.
Are you building that out now, or are you, it's in the planning? What are you doing?
Yeah, so a little bit of both. I have reached out to a few people, some of my bigger businesses, and, you know, or a lot of the businesses too, just like, hey, well, I know you're printing my shirts. Can I add on 50 or 100 more just to sell my shop? And that was with us not even, you know, marketing that yet. Because during the campaign, I had this talk with a few people about how we were upselling. And I was like, I just feel bad about upselling when I just said no risk, no strings attached during the whole campaign. You know, like, I didn't want to be like, well, hey, I'm making you all this money, but hey, if you want to order 50 more shirts, you know, I know I just paid you some money, but you can pay me that money back. So I wanted to wait till things got back to a little normalized, but now we'll start building out some mailing campaigns because, you know, I have all their contact info, I have all their emails. So we'll probably pick the, you know, top 50 sales and kind of work with them first, but just see like what their business is. And the biggest thing is reach out and ask them what we can help them with. See where they're at. Maybe they just started opening again and they need to make some more money. So, you know, t-shirts you can make money on. There's good margins on that. You know, let me make some shirts for your business to sell and you can help, you know, make some money. We have talked about maybe doing a plan B or like a version 2 of Here for Good, but curating a little bit more and picking some of the businesses that we know have similar thinking process and values as we do, and maybe partner up with them and sell their shirt in our retail space and online. Because a lot of these places, you know, at the end of the day, like, they don't sell retail. We do, you know, like the breweries, they sell beer. They can sell a shirt here and there, but not all of them are really good at it, but we are. So how can I sell shirts and make some money and then help them make some money too? But I think really it's all just through email campaigning right now, because no one still wants to be out in the world. So we use Klaviyo for that, which has been super powerful. And you can create different segments and, you know, really whatever you want, but you can pick your target markets, who bought stuff through Shopify, and you can just target those people of like, hey, anyone that bought a Here for Good shirt, maybe these guys are into donations, or, you know, a template just for special business packages, you know, buy a t-shirt and get 50 hats. Or, but I think it's really like targeting the ones that, you know, are going to sell well. Because not all of them will, you know that, you know, the 80% of them are going to do okay, but those 20% are going to really do well. And I'll probably focus on, you know, it's a little more flipped here, but I think I'll probably focus on the 20% top people and see what we can help them with in their business.
And you know that hair salon with the rock and roll design, they're going to be selling that for years and talking about you forever. And then that needs to go on a water bottle. And wouldn't it be really cool to be on the apron? Right. Mm-hmm. There's all those opportunities out there.
Yeah. And it's endless. Like it's really cool. And right now I just want to get the shirts, these 2000 done and then start heavily marketing again. Cause you know, we're stuck in that thing of, I just want to get the shirts, this project off the table before I start adding more projects. because my team, you know, like my team's stressed out, like they definitely need some time off, and you know, it's a lot of manual printing going on downstairs. It's, and you know, I don't even think if we would have had an auto, it would have helped solve the issue with this. I mean, it's, you know, the runs aren't massive. The most, I think one shop sold like 200, but really it was all hundreds, you know, 50s, 80s, like they weren't huge runs. It's all one color, so it's not like a lot of work. And we didn't add any extra stuff to it. Some people put like a Here for Good logo on it, or some people asked us if we'd print the Here for Good logo on it, and we're like, no. We're just trying to make it least amount of work possible.
So did you ship it, or did they come by and pick it up?
Yep. So yeah. So say you went on the website and there was six businesses that you really loved, and you bought a shirt from each business because you're like, well, I want to support local. I want to support all these local communities. Well, we weren't printing all six of those businesses at once. So then, you know, what's the process of shipping? Do you complete ship them all when they're done, which one could have sold 200 and one could have sold one t-shirt? You know, so how do you prioritize that? And that's been a lot of the hiccups. I would love to know insight on anyone that had a better idea on that. But we lost a lot of money on shipping, a lot of money. So I think halfway through, we then added on delivery. So we were charging $5 for delivery, and I was paying my friend's wife $5 to deliver it. So it was a no money thing, but it was just convenience. And then we started doing curbside pickup, really only a couple of weeks ago, because we didn't have enough people, you know, because the whole protocol is then I have to have someone just answering the phone, running shirts out all day while someone is packing. And, you know, we just didn't have the manpower, and I didn't really want to hire more people on at the moment. So yeah, so right now we're still doing shipping and local delivery and curbside pickup, but it was all shipping to start. It was flat rate shipping. Some asked they could pick it up in the store, but you know, how do you manage 8,000 orders? You know, that's the hard part. 8,000 orders was I think that's what we ended up having over the 2.5 months.
So all in all, looking back, you give it 2 thumbs up?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, you know, it was a learning experience. We learned a lot. We are going to grow from this. You know, it helped us. It gave us cash flow for 2 months, you know, and now it's just back to the normal grind of figuring out what the new normal is. But the badge on this whole thing was we got to pay out $100,000 to 400 businesses in our community. You know, some people got to pay their rent. Some people got to pay their staff. Some people just paid an electric bill or back rent. Some people just bought a dinner for themselves to feel a little bit good. But it helped a lot of people. And we were getting praises from some business, like my checking account just went overdraft. And this is what, you know, it came at the perfect time. I got to put it in. So it evened my account back out, you know, and that's what it was all about. It was all about using my business, you know, RAD for the force of good. That was at the end of the day what it was for.
And that's going to make you super happy. I'm just happy listening to it.
Yeah. Every time there's a negative email or a negative response to us, every day I just go by my staff and it's like, you guys, we did such a huge thing in Rockford. Don't let that one email, that one person ruin it for you, because this is massive. Like, how many businesses in a city donate over $100,000 in a year? You know, we just did it in 2.5 months. On top of that, we donate 1% of all of our gross sales to an environmental nonprofit. So we were donating to two things, to businesses and to a nonprofit. So that was kind of a cool thing too, was that customer supported their business, but also supporting the environment without them really knowing it.
Right. Well, you should market that.
Yeah. I mean, we were, but it's back to the, it's hard to get everyone to actually read and listen to what we're talking about.
Ain't that the truth? All right, cool. So thanks so much, Jared. I really appreciate hearing about the success that you've had on the podcast. It was really fun digging into how everything worked. And I love just hearing that whole story. And I just think it's awesome. So great job. And huge shout out to your team for totally kicking butt too.
Yeah. Thanks, Marshall. It was always a pleasure. And I look forward to the future. And I look forward to helping any other screen printing shop out there. If they have questions or comments or advice, I'm always a student and I'm always trying to learn and, you know, become a better person.
Yeah. So for anyone that wants to get in touch with you or learn more about the Here for Good campaign or Rockford Art Deli in general, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you?
I would say email is the best directly to me. And that's just my Jared@rockfordartdeli.com, or, you know, just rockfordartdeli.com. And then that email will filter to me eventually. But yeah, really, you know, the website's, I would say, the best. Social media is great too. We have the Rockford Art Deli Instagram, and then, you know, my personal is Pirate Ninja Print Shop. That's my old name that I can't let go of.
Right. Awesome. Well, hey, thanks so much, Jared. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Marshall.
Well, that's our show today. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest Success Stories episodes. Have any suggestions for future guests or topics? Send them my way at Marshall@MarshallAtkinson.com, and we'll see you next time.